The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 3, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on March 17, 2009, in London, England.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, text number 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mang veditatvatah.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. And there are various grades of men. And out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is simply engaged in the animal propensities, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, and hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first six chapters of the Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge and understanding the self, the super self, and the process of realization by jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahman realization, for this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person, but at the same time, he is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. The yogis and jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Shankaracharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept Krishna as such, for it is very difficult to know Krishna even though one has transcendental realization of impersonal Brahman. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the primeval Lord Govinda, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. It is very difficult for the non-devotees to know him. Although non-devotees declare that the path of bhakti or devotional service is very easy, they cannot practice it. If the path of bhakti is so easy, as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they take up the difficult path? Actually, the path of bhakti is not easy. The so-called path of bhakti, practiced by unauthorized persons without knowledge of bhakti, may be easy. But when it is practiced factually according to the rules and regulations, these speculative philosophers and speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.101, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Videng Vina Aikantaki Harir Bhaktir Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. Devotional service of a Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. It is not possible for the Brahman-realized impersonalist or the Paramatma-realized yogi to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda or the charioteer of Arjuna. Even the great demigods are sometimes confused about Krishna. Muhyanti yat suryaha, mang tu vedana kashchana. No one knows me as I am, the Lord says. And if one does know him, then sa mahatma sudurlabha, such a great soul is very rare. Therefore, unless one practices devotional service to the Lord, one cannot know Krishna as he is tattvatah, even though one is a great scholar or philosopher. Only the pure devotees can know something of the inconceivable, transcendental qualities in Krishna. His being the cause of all causes, his omnipotence and opulence, and his wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Because Krishna is benevolently inclined to his devotees. He is the last word in Brahman realization, and the devotees alone can realize him as he is. Therefore it is said, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Navavet Grayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hijivado Svayam Eva Spadatyada. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses. But he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bharakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, what's the point? Point is, Krishna is truly amazing. That's the point. There is nothing, there is no one more amazing than Krishna. Prabhupada called this particular deity, he said, the smiling boy. There are so many boys smiling. Why this smiling boy is different? This is no ordinary smiling boy. This smiling boy is the origin of all existence. He is London Ishvara. Not only is he controller of London, but he's actually the origin of London. London is manifesting out of him. So, his smile is quite different than the other smile. Others smile in imitation of his smile. But it is a cheap imitation. When Krishna smiles, it is real smile. It is not imitation smile. His smile is benevolent smile. He is spreading his benedictions. By his smile, he is benedicting all the living entities throughout the totality of existence. So the devotees, they are those persons who are very eager to get the smiling glance of Krishna upon themselves. They live for that. They want to get that smiling glance of Krishna upon them. So how does one qualify for that? To get the smiling glance of Krishna. You can't bribe. Krishna is not a dancing dog. You can pay him some money and he'll smile for you. You can't say, come on Krishna, do this for me, do that for me. No. That's the problem with the religionists of the world today. Whether they be Hindus, Christians, Muslims, whatever they may be, the general class of men, religionists, they approach God to fulfill their material desires. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. You see? They may get their material desire, but what they do not get, they don't get Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada jokingly told us in Atlanta many years ago, 1975. It was a wonderful gathering of devotees, about 300 of us were there with Prabhupada. And he told that the thief is praying, my dear Lord, please bless me that I can rob the house tonight. And the house owner is praying, my dear Lord, please bless me that my house will not be robbed, and God has to satisfy both. Prabhupada said, therefore God is perplexed. Of course, Krishna actually very expertly arranges everything. The point is, they are a botheration. Even though they are a botheration of the Lord, even though they are God conscious, they are a botheration. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shri Radhadandan Ishwar Ki Jai. The point is, they are a botheration. We are pestering God. Like a fly come to land you, fly comes and lands on you, you chase it, it keeps coming back. So we are pestering God, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. Why we should be botheration to God? By coming to Him with our shopping lists. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And if you don't give it to me, I'll teach you a lesson, my Lord, I will become atheist. We should not approach God like that. We should approach that smiling boy in humble service movement. My dear Lord, I'm your eternal servant. I'm your property. You do with me as you like. I just want to please you, that's all. Somehow I want to make you smile. By my service, I want to make you smile. By my sincere devotion, I want to make you smile, my Lord Krishna. You see? Such a person becomes very, very dear to the Lord. He doesn't have any personal agenda. He just wants to be part of Krishna's agenda. That's all. Such a person is given everything by Krishna. He is not lacking in anything. Ananyas chintayantamang yejana paryapasate teisham nichabhiyuktanam yogachemam paham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, whatever they need, I provide it. Whatever they have, I protect it. Personally, Prabhupada, in his lectures, he gives wonderful elaborations. In one lecture, he was saying, Krishna is saying, I will personally deliver to your front door. Just like we have FedEx service, DHL service. Come to the front door. You go on the internet, you make your order, and it comes to your door. 2 or 3 days later, there's the man with the package at the door, you see. So, Krishna gives such personalized service, he personally brings it right to your door. But who does he bring that to? Only the pure devotees, who are completely free of any desire to lord it over that which is the property of Krishna. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvadoka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantam ritshati. Those persons who have fully realized, have fully accepted, and are fully absorbed in living their life in the reality of the fact that there is only one enjoyer, and his name is Krishna. There's only one owner of all that exists. His name is Krishna. And there's only one person who is the true benefactor of all living entities, and that is Krishna. Those persons who live in that reality, they are given unlimited facility by Krishna to carry on their service to him. Just think of it, this mundane example. Okay, you just graduated from college, you're in the university, now it's time for your career. And you're checking out all the different corporations, which one you're going to work for, you see. Because everybody, you got to work for somebody, right? So, well, who am I going to work for? Let's say you get 10 different job offers. Of course, this is an unlikely example, especially in today's economy. Let's say you had 10 different job offers. Which one would you take? Which one gives the best facility? I'm going to have to surrender myself for many, many years to this corporation. Be at work on time, go to the meetings, dress the way they want me to dress, act the way they want me to act. I got to put a lot of energy to doing what this corporation wants me to do. So let me see which one's going to give me the best facility. So Krishna is the supreme employer. He gives the supreme facility. He gives everything. He gives everything. Whatever is needed is provided, personally provided by him. There's no other employer who gives such facility to his employees. There is no such employer who gives so much facility to his employees. Unlimited bank account. Whatever you need to serve me, I will give you everything. Just see how Prabhupada, with 40 rupees, and he went to millions of dollars in 11 years. With so many temples, so many disciples, so many vehicles, the media were envious. A poor beggar. Prabhupada described himself as an insignificant beggar when he arrived in the U.S. with only 40 rupees. Pocket chains only. That's all he had. So, if we are the Prabhupada Nugas, We are the followers in the line of Prabhupada. So that means we should take the same mood as Srila Prabhupada. To be completely dedicated to serving Krishna. Feeling ourselves the humble, insignificant beggars in the Lord's service. So my dear Lord, you can take everything away, that's all right. You can give me the whole world, that's all right. Whatever you want to do with me, it doesn't matter. I'm simply your completely sold out servant for all of eternity without any conditions. This is called pure devotional service. Ahaitaki bhakti. Ahaitaki apratiyata yayatma supra siddhati. Unless devotional service is free of all my mundane motives and free of time off for maya, uninterrupted devotional service, you won't be satisfied with it. Bhagavatam said. Not a part-time activity. Sometimes people say, I've heard it said, they say, well, are you a part-time devotee or a full-time devotee? I find that question kind of ridiculous. Sometimes devotees are living in the temple, you know. They ask someone, are you part-time or full-time? If you're a devotee, you're a devotee. When you go to work, you're still a devotee. Is it Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? As soon as you get to work, you go, yeah, now I get to be a karmi. I'll smoke some cigarettes, eat some meat, drink some beer, and then go and then be a devotee. No. If you're a devotee, you're a devotee, wherever you are. You're devotee, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he did his magistrate's duties for the British government, did he become a karmi? No. You remain a devotee. So whether you're working, whether you're going to school, whether you're a full-time brahmachari, preaching up a storm, whatever you may be doing, if you're Krishna conscious, then that means 24/7. If you're actually Krishna conscious, it means 24/7 you're dovetailing everything with Krishna's service. Every thought, every word, and every deed in all times, all places, and all circumstances, simply for the pleasure of Krishna. A devotee is introspective. He observes himself. What am I thinking about right now? Is this thought pleasing to Krishna? And if not, well, weed it out. Put a new one in there. If this thought is not pleasing to Krishna, I'd really like to have sex with that girl. Wait, but that's not pleasing to Krishna. Weed it out. Throw it out. You see? A devotee is very, very sincere to please Krishna. Not just make a show, you see. In our movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you can do nice service, have nice relationships, and become a well-respected devotee in this movement, and still be holding on to material desires in the heart. So simply to be a well-respected ISKCON member, that's not enough. One has to actually cultivate pure bhakti within the heart, you see. That's the key. Pure bhakti is a taste that is so sublime, that is so relishable, that is so nectarian, that is so absolutely, inconceivably amazing and fantastic that nothing in this world can even take anything of this world and multiply it millions and billions of times, and it cannot even compare to the most infinitesimal, insignificant fraction of a drop of this ocean of bhakti nectar. You see? So we really have to be convinced of this. We can't allow Maya to mess around with us anymore. We've been stolen by Maya for how many millions of lifetimes? We've been cheated by that Maya Devi for millions and millions of lifetimes. We've been cheated. And the proof is we've got another damn rotting body right now, you see. Each one of us sitting here in this room tonight. We have another damn rotting body. We were cheated once again by Maya, you see. So are we tired of being cheated, or we would prefer to continue being cheated? I don't want to be cheated anymore. I'm tired of being ripped off by Maya Devi. You see? Therefore, I've taken shelter of the lotus feet of my beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And I've fully dedicated my life in his service, even though I'm a very unqualified person. Still, I'm just somehow diving at his feet and holding on and begging for the mercy. That's all. Just begging for the mercy. So, this is the position. We must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. He will pull us out of this material existence. His lotus feet are the ticket back to Goloka Vrindavan, the eternal pastimes of Krishna. They are the doorway, the portal through which, through those lotus feet, we can enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, we worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Sri Guru Charana Padma. We worship those lotus feet. Because through those lotus feet, we can enter into Krishna's eternal pastimes. So, you all are very fortunate to have this wonderful shelter here in London. These most wonderful, wonderful deities that Prabhupada personally installed. This is a great, great mercy to have the opportunity for serving and taking shelter of Sri Sri Radha London Ishvara. You are most fortunate devotees to have this opportunity. So, you make your lives fortunate. And you make all the people of London and the UK fortunate. This is what Prabhupada wants that you all should do. So I thank you very much for so kindly allowing me to come here and get your mercy, your Sangha. And I can ask now if there's any questions. My battery went dead here. I'm somewhat hard of hearing. What is he saying?
Yeah, he said that at the beginning of the class that Krishna is very merciful.
In the beginning of the class, he mentioned that Krishna is very merciful.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, since the Lord is so merciful, why is there so much suffering in this world?
Since the Lord is so merciful, why there is so much suffering in the world?
Oh, all right. No, I'll get to that. That's a very good question. This is a very common question. Well, if Krishna is so kind, why is there suffering? Surely God... in fact, they have an argument. They say, well, it's either one of... Either God is all-powerful, how do they say it? They say it's called the problem of evil. Same thing, problem of suffering, problem of evil. If God is all-merciful and there's so much suffering, therefore he must not be all-powerful. Or if God is all-powerful, then he's not all-merciful. He's cruel. He has a cruel side to him. So which is it? They say, is he all-powerful or is he all-merciful? The answer is he's both. God is not limited in any way. That is the meaning of God. So, can we understand that this suffering that's going on in the world right now is actually a manifestation of God's mercy? That takes a you could say, an inconceivable stretch of the imagination. How can it possibly be? It doesn't make sense in one sense. But yet, if we understand things as they are, according to the Vedic wisdom, we can see that actually, yes, it is. We are the eternal associates of Krishna. We are, our actual home is in the spiritual world, in the pastimes of the Lord. But we are not prisoners there. We are voluntarily participants in the pastimes of Krishna. That means at any time we can leave if we want. We're not held there with a, you know, with a ball and chain in Krishna's pastimes. It's completely free. Everybody's there because they want to be there. Now, if there is a, in other words, for free will to exist, there has to be a possibility of misusing that free will, isn't it? If there's no possibility of misusing it, if it's impossible to exercise it, you don't have it. So since the possibility of abusing the free will exists, that also means there's some kind of probability that you could misuse your free will. Since there's a possibility, there has to also be a probability. If there's zero probability, that means there's no possibility. If there's no possibility, there's no free will. So possibility, so free will means there's possibility, which means there's probability, which brings us then into the realm known as probability statistics. That means there's an actual mathematical probability. And it's an infinitesimal probability. But if you apply an infinitesimal amount, 1 over infinity, against infinity, you take an infinitesimal fraction of infinity, actually take any fraction of infinity, and it's infinity. Infinity is so great that even the smallest fraction of it is also infinity. So that infinitesimal number of living entities who exercised their free will in the wrong way, they end up being an infinitude of living entities, actually. So that's the situation. There's that vast number of living entities who voluntarily chose to misuse their free will. Now, what to do? How to get them back to their position? They are the beloved children of Krishna. He wants them back in his abode. He misses them very dearly. In fact, it breaks his heart that they are not there reciprocating love with him. So how will you get them back? Well, it sends the police with a gun. That would not work, because one has to be voluntarily serving the Lord. You can't round people up with a gun and say, okay, time to go back to Godhead. Hop, get in the paddy wagon. We're hauling you back to Goloka. It doesn't work that way. So Krishna very mercifully, on the one hand, facilitates our desire to enjoy separately from him by giving us so many varieties of enjoyment, 8,400,000 different ways to enjoy in this material world. That's his kindness. So you want to enjoy separately here, I'll give you 8,400,000 different ways to try to enjoy separately from me. But because that's actually an artificial position, it's not your actual identity to be a Brahmaji, an Indra, to be a worm in the stool, or whatever it may be, to be an engineer, software engineer in London, whatever it may be, you see. It's not your actual constitutional position. Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. So along with giving you, okay, already, Krishna says, if you really want to be, you want to imitate me and try being the supreme, try being the center of existence, all right, I'll let you have it. Go ahead, try it. Because it's not your actual position, it can't really satisfy you. It's like the fish wanting to enjoy being a creature of the land. You see? So the suffering that we go through here, that is actually kindness. That is Krishna's love. Every single incident of suffering within this material world, it is self-inflicted. It is all self-inflicted. We're actually masochists. We're a world full of masochists. We're self-inflicting suffering upon ourselves by our misuse of our free will. So, that suffering that we experience here, that is Krishna's mercy. The great devotees, they see like that. You know Queen Kunti, how she prays, Vipada shantitashashvatatra tatra jagadgaro bhavanam darshanam yashad apunar bhava darshanam. She says, Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, please be very merciful to me and put me into all kinds of suffering. More and more suffering. Because whenever I suffer, then I come to my senses and I don't become carried away by sense gratification. When I suffer, then I have nothing to do except to see you, my Lord, to see you within my heart. And when I see you, I will never again see the repetition of birth and death. So therefore, give me more and more suffering. Please, Krishna, bless me with more and more and more and more suffering. This is how the great pure devotees pray, you see. Therefore, there is no such thing as suffering for a pure devotee. He sees everything as the blessing of Krishna. When Prabhupada was sitting in Calcutta during World War II, the Japanese were coming. They were bombing Calcutta. And Prabhupada, you know, when he took prasadam, it was an act of worship. It was just shoveling some food in the mouth. It was great worship, deep, deep meditation. So the bombs were coming. Everybody's running for the bomb shelter. Oh, bomb attack, bomb attack. Did Prabhupada run for the bomb shelter? No way. He just anand prasad. Very peacefully anand prasad. And as the bombs were falling, he gave his way of describing the bomb. He went, chi kyam. The bombs were exploding, and he said, "Ah, here is Krishna." So, certainly being hit by a bomb, we would call that suffering. Some bomb fell on my head, and I blew up. I'd say, "Oh, suffering." Right? And Prabhupada was saying, "Ah, here is Krishna." So, suffering is simply in... Actually, in the highest level understanding, suffering is just in the mind. It's the mind. Pain may be there. There's something not a physical pain, it's a reality. But suffering is only when you identify with the body. It's only when you remain enwrapped in that rascal, dastardly thing known as the false ego that you suffer. If you kick out, you just kick out that false ego. Get out of here. I don't want you around anymore. Get lost. Mr. Ahankar. You say, get the hell out. And there's no such thing as suffering anymore. It doesn't exist. You enter into the spiritual world even while you have your body walking down Soho Street. You're living in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, these temples are not in the material world, they are in Vaikuntha. So you can live in Vaikuntha experiencing ever-increasing, unlimited bliss at every minute simply by fully embracing the Krishna conscious vision. All you have to do, Prabhu. Now it's up to you whether you want to do that or not. But anybody who understands really what's going on here, they will do it. They will gladly will run for it very enthusiastically. So therefore, we want to distribute these books because anybody who reads these books carefully and thoroughly, they will all want to surrender to Krishna. This philosophy that Prabhupada had given is so perfect. It is the greatest presentation of Vedic Siddhanta in the history of the universe, what Prabhupada has given. Any other questions? We have about 60 seconds, Sydney. Yes.
Is it our choice?
Yes. No. Well, yes and no. Yes, both, actually. Krishna's mercy is there at every minute. It's only by Krishna's mercy, that's a thing. But His mercy is there at every minute. Now, it's up to you whether to take it or not. So it is your choice, and it is His mercy, both. It's not or, which one, it's both. Right. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Please beg Sankarshan Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Radha Landan Ishvara Devotees Ki Jai.